Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Friday edition of The Drive. A nice looking Friday. It's pretty warm. But that's the way it's supposed to be. But yeah, nice looking Friday. Looks like a nice looking weekend. Hope everybody has good weekend plans. But it looks like the weather is going to be fine for whatever you have on your mind. Welcome into the Friday Drive. The regular crew here in the studio, Bill, Dan, and Drew. And we'd love for you to join in. Hour number one of The Drive, once again brought to you by our friends at Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And they're also the sponsor of our hotline. One of the ways you can get through to us by calling 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, which is available however you listen to podcasts. And waving to our friend Tracy there in the
I didn't. Where is she?
Yeah, she's right there. She's
oh, I didn't see her.
She's at her desk. Wanted to.
Well, she wasn't when we came in.
I don't know if she's acknowledged me yet. But anyways, you can text the show, 334-564-1840.
She's about to leave, it looks like. She's just coming in to get something.
On the Drive
text. Hey! There we go. I just wanted to get her attention. Okay.
All right, cool. Anyways, good to see you, Tracy. And you can text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, which is available however you listen to podcasts. You can go to your favorite podcasting platform. You can rate, review, and subscribe if you're using a third-party platform. You're using Apple, Spotify, Google, something like that. You can also go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center. All of that's presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Yeah, I don't just holler, with a mic open.
Yeah, no, it's a special occasion.
Normally. We haven't seen Tracy in quite a while.
Yeah, and all the best
great,
to Tracy.
Great to see her, and she looks good.
One of our favorites here,
yes,
at the show.
Yes, absolutely. So as we get things underway, a couple of things to get to. I mean, the College World Series Championship Series is set.
What a finish. What a
finish. Oh, it was. What a game. Yeah. What a great game last night. I mean, a classic pitcher's duel. I believe there had been a total of 6 hits going to the 11th inning last night. And then Tommy White, the nation's leader in RBIs, walks it off, a 2-run homer in the bottom of the 11th, and LSU eliminates Wake Forest. But, I mean, a great pitcher's duel and a tremendous play in the 8th inning defensively by Trey Morgan, I thought saved LSU, or they probably wouldn't have made it to extra innings, because in the 8th, Wake with had got runners at the corners with one out and a safety squeeze, and the runner looked like, I mean, he waited till the ball was bunted, still looked like he was going to make it, but Morgan flying in from first base made the play, and then with a pitch almost like an option pitch or the old Utah pass or something like that. Didn't underhand it, got it to the catcher Malazzo with a great tag. And, I mean, a bang-bang play, and the runner was out, and that kept the ball game scoreless until Tommy White's 2-run homer.
Yeah, and Wake Forest struggled to such an explosive offense throughout the regular season, just really struggled to replicate that in Omaha. Couldn't score a run last night against an outstanding LSU pitching staff.
Paul Skeens is the best. I mean,
well, the way LSU pitched, in the game. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. LSU has pitched fantastic throughout the tournament.
And I don't think anybody thought there was a team that would beat Wake Forest in back-to-back games in this College World Series. LSU has done it. Now they're going to play Florida, and the winner is going to win yet another. Now it's going to be the fourth straight national champion from the SEC, and they will be four different schools. Mm-hmm. I believe that's correct, right? Because Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, Mississippi State.
Right, the last three.
And then now you've got I have that Vanderbilt, State, Ole Miss, and now a fourth SEC team will win the national championship in baseball.
Yes, and of course LSU at a disadvantage because they went with Skeens as they needed to last night. And, you know, he may, may be available for some action on Monday, but that's the earliest that I think you would see Paul Skeens.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see what LSU Florida looks like, because that to me is a – LSU and Florida looked like the two – outside of Wake Forest maybe, the two best teams coming into the College World Series, and now they are – they look set to do battle.
Yeah, so that'll get started tomorrow. Last night also the NBA draft. Any real surprises to you?
So I think Miller going second is a surprise because a lot of folks thought Scoot Henderson. You know, I think Scoot Henderson had the advantage on the odds makers boards going in, but. Not really. No, I mean,
there weren't any shockers that I saw.
Shibway going undrafted is a little bit surprising. First Naismith winner since 2000 to go undrafted in the NBA draft. But he's also not someone who necessarily fits what a lot of teams are trying to do in the NBA. So there was reason to think, you know, maybe he was going to struggle to find a home.
Yeah, I guess. Wendell Green, let's see, as expected, undrafted, but he signed a summer league deal Cleveland.
I think Wendell's going to play some point guard in Vegas, which, you know, we'll at least get a chance to do that, which is one way for undrafted free agents to play their way onto the radar. And, you know, sometimes we've seen undrafted free agents who have great performances in Las Vegas, and they're able to catapult that to an entire – you know, an entire NBA career. So, you know, here's hoping for Wendell. I think there are roadblocks to him.
Yeah, there's no question there are. I mean, you look and you think of undersized point guards, and, you know, I heard Jacob and Carter talking about this a little while ago. But, I mean, a very valid point is if Jared Harper can't make it, Jared is a better ball handler and I believe he's a better shooter. The Wendell Green, and, you know, Jared hasn't been able to make it because of his size.
Yeah, Jared has struggled to stick.
Right.
In the NBA. He's gotten glimpses, and he's been on rosters and stuff, but you're right, he hasn't been able to pull. And for that matter, Sharif Cooper is still waiting for his opportunity.
So, I mean, you look at those guys, and I don't know that Wendell is...
But I don't know if Wendell made this move thinking that he was going to be on an NBA roster.
Oh, no, I doubt that was... You know, the reason.
Yeah, I mean, I think he could hope that he could play his way there, but I think he was also, I would imagine, he was ready for the possibility that he was going to have to work his way either through an alternate league in America, because now you have those options, or if he was going to have to go to somewhere like Europe or Asia or the Middle East to continue his professional basketball career, which is still significant money. So, yeah, I think Wendell Green is going to be able to earn a living for a while playing basketball, and the fact that he's been invited to the Vegas League or to participate in the Vegas League is a good sign for him. But, no, the odds are probably against Wendell Green being a significant NBA player someday. But that's not – I mean – the odds have been against other guys who became significant NBA players. But no, as expected, no real, aside from Scoot Henderson, no real Auburn influence to last night's draft as most of them. I mean, there were some SEC players, quite a few. Anthony Black goes sixth overall to the Orlando Magic after the Thompson twins, right?
You know, right, yeah, Thompson twins went back-to-back.
Four and five. What a story there. And then Anthony Black goes six. Nick Smith Jr. waits a little bit longer, but both of the guards are taken in the first round last night in the NBA draft.
Noah Clowney goes in the first round.
Alabama has Alabama has a pair of first rounders. Brandon Miller, the first college player off the board, second player off the board, and then the and then Brandon Miller who goes, or no, not Brandon Miller. It was Clowney who went with the. It was a little bit earlier than that. It was 21st. Noah Clowney goes with the 21st pick. Cam Whitmore was, I mean, maybe the biggest surprise because so many draft experts and just folks with their usually had their finger on the pulse of these things had Cam Whitmore as a not just a lottery pick, but a lot of folks had him in the top 10. The Villanova small forward, he fell all the way to 20. Houston took him at 20. There were people who thought Houston could take him at 4, and Houston ends up getting him at 20 instead. So Cam Whitmore with a bit of a surprise. Jaime Jaquez, the UCLA small forward. Basically, every single mock draft across the board had Cam Whitmore going ahead of Jaime Jaquez. But Cam Whitmore slips. There might be a story there. We'll find out. But Jaime Jaquez going to and he's going to the Heat, a team that has shown an ability to spot value in the NBA draft and get the absolute most out of the players they bring in. So I'm intrigued to see what his NBA career is like. And then,
did you mention Cason Wallace?
I've not mentioned Cason Wallace. Cason Wallace is another story. The Kentucky guard who struggled to get on the court, right? I mean, for most of the, I mean, he
for
was,
a while,
he was,
yeah.
Was,
you're
was,
right.
Was he Sevier Wheeler's backup for a lot of the a lot of the season, and then steps in, has a great stretch with Sevier Wheeler hurt, but you know, that and his recruiting profile coming out of high school enough to propel him all the way to the 10th overall pick of the draft, and Kobe Brown. Somebody
he was like the last pick, wasn't
Kobe
he?
Kobe Brown, the last pick of the first round, 30th overall to the Clippers. Brown is a Huntsville native, started his career at UAB, played last year at Missouri, and was a deadline decision to stay in the draft. Sounds like he made a pretty good call.
Yeah.
The fact that he goes
a first-round pick.
Yeah, goes in the first round of last night's NBA draft. Julian Phillips, by the way, somebody that we talked about a lot because it seemed like he was another player who was going to make a decision. He stayed in the draft. Some folks think that if he had come back to college basketball, Auburn was the favorite for Julian Phillips. He was taken with the fifth pick in the second round by the Boston Celtics. I believe that pick may have been traded. I don't know.
Yeah, there were a few trades.
Yeah, Keontae Johnson, the Florida player who had the terrifying medical incident a couple of years ago before resuscitating his career. I guess that's a terrible pun there.
Yeah, that really was.
No, I didn't mean to do that. Like, well, no, I mean, but a lot of those are like reviving.
I know.
I don't mean to make light of the fact that, like, I was watching that live. It was terrifying. But he's, and it's good news. He had a great season
at
Kansas State, and he is, he was a second-round pick of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and so I would expect to see Keontae Johnson maybe play his way into the NBA someday. You know, have a real chance of making an impact.
Yeah. So those some of the highlights. We'd like your thoughts on anything you know regarding those stories or others. Sad news today. I saw this a little while ago. Yeah. Dan and I talked about it, and a guy who was very popular. He was at Auburn the entire time that Tommy Tuberville was head coach because Tommy brought him from Ole Miss. Terry Price passing away today at the age of 55. I mean, Coach Price, Terry had played at Texas A&M, got his start in coaching with Tubbs at Ole Miss, was with him there for 4 years. Came to Auburn, was at Auburn for the 10 years of Tommy Tuberville's career here, went back to Ole Miss for a couple of years before moving back to his alma mater, Texas A&M, I believe in 2012, and had been there, was still their defensive line coach. He had been the defensive line, defensive ends coach at Texas A&M since 2012. Very personable. An outstanding recruiter and an excellent coach. Sad that he has passed away at the age of 55.
Yeah, really sad news on that front. Terry Price, who was an Auburn defensive line coach under Tuberville, like you said, coaching now for his alma mater. He'd been there over a decade on the defensive line at Texas A&M. Played for Sherrill and Slocum at A&M in the late 80s. Brief stint in the NFL, and then was able to begin a lengthy SEC coaching career. Ole Miss for Tuberville.
Yeah, so he'd been an SEC coach for a quarter of a decade,
nearly thirty years as an SEC defensive line coach at Ole Miss, Auburn, and back to Ole Miss with Houston Nutt, and then following. It was Kevin Sumlin at first to Texas A&M, and then coaching for Sumlin and Jimbo Fisher. Nearly 30 years of coaching on the defensive line for the SEC, and a guy who just, I mean, his former players rave about him. The coaches that employed him had nothing but nice things to say about him. He made an impact on a lot of those Auburn defensive players in the Tuberville era. Like he's one of those coaches that I think about. Like when you think about fiery moments during fall practice or on the field during games under Tuberville, like Terry Price is one of those guys who was usually in the thick of it. So just a great guy and a tremendous loss.
Really was. And I know that some folks like to sarcastically talk about Tubbs' staff, you know, the barbecue gang. Well, Terry Price was he was an outstanding barbecue guy. I mean, he is known, if you look at his bio at Texas A&M, and it talks about how well known he is for his barbecue and that he would have his players over and his players just raved about, you know, his ability to cook ribs and other delicacies on the grill.
The man knew what he was doing in front of a grill, but I mean that was also true of a lot of those Tuberville coaches.
He definitely was one of the barbecue gang, but I mean he was an outstanding coach, as you said, just a great guy. I mean very likable and go ahead.
I think it's also like it's whether it's team building or recruiting. Like if you got a big house and a place with nice weather, you know, cook a bunch of food outside.
Absolutely.
Take advantage of it. Like I think it makes sense. It was at times the, you know, people use the derisive sort of, you know, barbecue boys, you know, moniker for it. But no, I think Terry Price was someone who just it's stunning to hear. That he's passed away because he was, a guy who was a constant presence really since I've started following college football. He's been before that he was a defensive line coach. So yeah, it's a tough one and always a multiple time guest on the show.
Sure,
always very nice and very cordial.
Just absolutely, very very available. Made himself available and really seemed to enjoy spending some time with us. And
you're gonna see him memorialized by people who covered Auburn during his time as a coach here. And what I expect a lot of them to say is, I mean, this guy is, you know, he was generous with his time and patient and respectful in answering your questions and thoughtful. And really, you know, and clearly loved by his players. So it's a sad loss.
Yeah, he got to spend the last 3 years. His son was a receiver at A&M the last 3 years. I believe he transferred to Florida Atlantic after this past season. But obviously, you can tell that TP was one of our favorites. Yeah. And I thought sort of as a way of honoring him, but also giving fans a chance. I thought about this. I don't know that we've ever really tossed this out. We've had a lot of different times where we talked favorite or least favorite coaches, but I don't think we've ever said assistant coaches, because I think there are and there have been plenty of assistant coaches that fans really connect with or really like. And if there's a head coaching change, boy, they'd like that assistant coach to stay for whatever reason. So if there's an assistant coach that you can think of that is one of your favorites? We'd love to hear that. Just, you know, just a sort of another topic here on this Friday. There's not a ton of things going on, so thought that would be sort of a fun thing as we move on through the Friday edition of The Drive.
In 1958, the world was
Peck on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. I will be gone next week. Not going too far, but gonna head down to the Gulf, and it looks like weather's gonna cooperate while we're down there. So looking forward to it. So I'll come back, hopefully not burned, but with a little sun and enjoy some of the weather as well as things that go on around downtown Pensacola. So. Looking forward to that. But, yeah, as we continue here on the Friday Drive, anything you want to talk about sports-wise and our project for the day, love to hear from our listeners some of your favorite assistant coaches. Any sport doesn't really matter, but, I mean, the head coaches get talked about an awful lot, but assistants, and one of the reasons we're doing that is because – one of our favorites and are just really genuinely good guy passing away today just at the young age of 55. I mean, he had spent more than half of his life as an SEC coach. Terry Price, who had spent a decade at Auburn, spent, I believe, 14, nearly half of his career as an assistant for Tommy Tuberville, and then had gone back to his alma mater, Texas A&M, and had been there since 2012. So don't know any more of the details, and had not heard that he was sick or anything, but I mean, just a really sad news that Terry Price, who was an outstanding coach, an excellent recruiter, and just a genuinely good guy, passing away today. So if there's someone that comes to mind as one of your favorite assistant coaches, Love for you to join in.
Who comes to mind for you, Bill? Who you got?
I can recall. I mean, I'm just thinking of some guys that through the years, fans always wanted to come back as an assistant, or sometimes even as a Will Muschamp is a guy that has been at the top of a lot of people's list just as a favorite assistant, outstanding defensive coordinator. Hasn't worked for him as a head coach, but he's somebody that I think people just like. They liked his fire, and they liked the production. I mean, that's the thing. You don't get to be a favorite assistant coach if the guys you're coaching or gals you're coaching don't perform very well. It's hard to stay employed if they don't.
I mean, Tuberville had characters on his across his staff, yep, that were easy to form bonds with, like Terry Price and like Don Dunn, who I still occasionally hear from Don Dunn, and Hugh Knoll had his supporters and his detractors, but that was somebody who I think absolutely made an impression on folks. Some of them, you got the offense coordinators that moved on to head coaching jobs, like Petrino and Malzahn,
right?
And guys like that. Yeah, I think, I guess Chizik would also count as a coordinator who moved on to to a head coaching job. Chizik was very popular with the last couple of years before he left for the Texas job. Yeah, Chizik was an incredibly popular defense coordinator, which is proven by the fact that he was hired as head coach a little bit later on.
Yep.
Although that move was more controversial, I'd say, than than Chizik ever was as a defensive coordinator.
It was, but Auburn got a national title.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
334-321-1390. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Dan, hang on. You'll be up when we come back here on the Friday Drive.
ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. And, one of the things we're talking, I mean, anything you want to talk about sports-wise, but saddened by the news today that former Auburn assistant and longtime SEC defensive coach Terry Price passing away today at the age of 55. I mean, he'd been coaching for nearly 30 years in the SEC. He'd been at A&M since 2012. That's his alma mater. And just got a call that I had not realized he had had a kidney transplant. Don't know if that had anything to do with his passing, but that is we got a little info there. And the caller also said he didn't really want to go on the air, but mentioned that a couple of his favorite assistants over the last 15 years or so would be Tim Horton and Rock Bellantoni.
Yeah.
That's a couple of very likable guys. Yeah. Well, everybody liked Tim Horton too.
A lot of folks liked, Rhett Lashley. A lot of folks are big Rhett Lashley fans. And that, you know, that's somebody who, I think especially if he were to continue a quality college football career and Auburn years down the line were looking for a coach for whatever reason, I feel like there would be people who remembered Rhett Lashley's time here, especially if he worked his way into the top tier of candidates. He's somebody who the warm feelings from when he was back at Auburn, I think, to an extent, I think would maybe help out.
All right, so we're asking for some of your favorite assistant coaches, any sport. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. And let's get to it. And Dan's been hanging on for a while. Hey, Dan, thanks for holding on.
Hey, guys. Y'all mentioned one of mine recently with Don Dunn, but I was going back a little bit further with Wayne Bolt. Was one of my favorite characters in the
absolutely
of all time. And he still is, but I really enjoyed him. And I like Larry Blakeney, too, same time. Both of them very likable and very easygoing and talk to anybody, anywhere, anytime.
Yeah, and now Wayne could get a little excited on the field at times, but, just great guy. I see him occasionally, haven't really had a chance to spend much time with him, but just sort of seen him a few times here recently.
It's hard
to believe that that's the same guy.
How have we gone this far without saying Al Borges either, which I guess would be another one, right? I mean, Al Borges was everybody's favorite there. But, no, yeah, I've had nothing but positive interactions with Wayne Bolt in my time, too. Yeah, that guy's the best.
So, all right, guys, that's it. Y'all have a good day.
Appreciate your call, Dan. Yeah, I mean, that's some good – I'll tell you somebody who was a very, very popular assistant coach. Probably not. He's not as popular now.
Well, let me guess. Is it Jimbo?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, everybody loved Jimbo as the assistant.
Jimbo and Petrino both, right? I mean, Petrino had his fans.
Well,
and
Jimbo
his...
was, but Jimbo, Bobby at times could be a little bit much. But Jimbo was a fun guy off the field. I don't know that Bobby was the most fun guy off the field. Although I remember some of the things with the kids was more fun. But, so that's funny. I mean, because some people, I was talking about Will Muschamp, Will a while ago, and a lot of fans really liked Will. I don't know that they were, and then you had a bunch of people hoping that he might get an opportunity to be the head coach here, but he's had a couple of opportunities at Florida and South Carolina. He's been an outstanding defensive coordinator. Jimbo has, he's won a national title. But I don't know that he's nearly in the favor of Auburn fans that he used to be.
Well, yeah, no,
before,
I think
before he hit it A&M.
Yes, I think they're, that whether it's the time at Florida State or even, you know, more recently some of the A&M games. But yeah, he doesn't seem to be as popular. Although he doesn't seem to be that popular at A&M either. Would be the
he
other
better
side
win.
Of that. I mean, he's got
he better win or he might have to be an assistant coach.
He's
again.
Got
well,
some,
I don't know.
No,
he's set.
No,
he's set for
he's
life.
Go. Yeah, he's going to be
set for
he's
life.
He's going to be on a boat dodging killer whales. Is what he's going to be doing. You know, if he gets that. You know, if things don't go well at Texas A&M because they're. They've got four losable games in the first six this year. And I don't think Jimbo Fisher can be sitting there at 2-4, six games into this season. Like that's where because we said it with Brian Harsin. With the timeline having changed in college football, Bill, right? Between the open when the transfer portal opens, the moment the season ends, the fact that you've got high school recruiting classes to salvage, you can't go into the final week of the season on the fence about what to do with your coach. Like if you're going to make a move, you make a move mid season as early as
oh,
you
yeah,
can.
Oh yeah, the earlier the better now.
And get the ball rolling because if you go into December still looking for a coach, you know, you're flirting with disaster because you're not going to get players in the portal to commit to you while you're hunting for a coach and you're going to have players on your team leaving. So yeah, I think Jimbo's really under the gun at Texas A&M to win right now. And if things aren't looking positive midway through the season, it will probably be the end of his tenure there.
334-321-1390. Bill and Dan here on the Friday Drive. Drew at the controls. We'd love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, and if you'd like to, you know, give us someone who is you know one of your favorite assistant coaches, that'd be great as well.
Any basketball assistants that come to mind? Anybody that springs to
Mac
mind?
Mac McCarthy.
There you go. Okay. All right. I was going to say
back.
It's been mostly football coaches
Sonny, yeah.
so far, but I mean there have been some quality basketball assistants as well.
Oh, there've been plenty of them. Got to know Mac. Well, I'll tell you why. Mac was one of the original owners. In the Greystone.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, then, yeah, hats off. Hats off to Mac, and happy to continue the lineage.
He's a character. He's another, you know, fun guy. So, yeah, we'd love.
I have a totally unrelated question that you mentioning Mac and Sonny brings up. But it's, the assistant coaches in other sports also – are really really important and we've been blessed with what about under Coach Dye any assistants who like if I say name like a Coach Dye
man there were so many I mean Joe Witt I mean obviously I mean just an Auburn icon I mean man somebody mentioned Larry a while ago I mean Larry I mean Neil Wayne, I mean that whole staff was you know folks that were fun to spend a little time around. I can see James Daniel. I mean there were I could pretty much name you the whole staff. All of them were just sort of down to earth guys. I mean you know no wasn't a whole lot of BS. You know you asked for it you got it.
You know I can't imagine Pat Dye. Keeping a lot of guys around.
No.
That
no, you're right.
I mean, I may have caught him a little bit later on in his tenure, but I think that's easy. These were straight shooters that were employed under the under Coach Dye.
Full bank of phone calls. Let's get back to them. And Rick is up next. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Bill and Dan. How's it going?
I'm doing all right. Good to hear from you, Rick.
Hey, Bill, I'm going to send you an email to your campus email about that thing we were talking
okay,
about a couple weeks
good,
ago.
Okay, good, good.
All right. So anyway, this might sound weird that I'm saying my favorite assistant, but when I bought my house a long time ago, it's paid off now, I had a neighbor down the street named Paul. And I just knew him as Paul. And then I saw people at the grocery store calling him coach and stuff, right? So I asked him one day, like, what did you ever coach? They're calling you coach. He told me that he was the baseball coach for like 20 years. And then he also told me.
Yeah, he was the head coach for 20 years.
Right, but he was an assistant under Chef Jordan.
Uh-huh.
Because he told me that back then, you know, everybody helped each other out. And you talk about a character, it was Paul Nix. And
you're right. I got you. Yeah, go ahead.
that's how, I mean, he just was the nicest guy. And like I said, we were neighbors for like 2 years before I even knew who he was. Because never asked him his last name.
Well, I tell you what, I could get some baseball players that would say, well, they might question the nicest guy. He was a character, though. Let me tell you, I first got to meet him when I came here and went out on the baseball field because my roommate had been a third baseman at his high school. I'd been a first baseman outfielder, and we were gonna walk on, and all we did was run laps in the outfield. We never got to do anything. I probably never would have anyway, but I mean, still. And he didn't seem to be very friendly. He was rather gruff. And then I got the opportunity to do the baseball play-by-play, and I got to ride with him quite a few times and heard more stories about football when he was a member of Shug's staff, and baseball. And he was a colorful guy, and one that was really good to get a chance to know him, because if you were only around him as someone trying out, or even sometimes some of the players that weren't with him for very long, they didn't leave loving him, because he could be a little he was a little rough around the edges at times. But no, what a great guy.
I totally can see that. All right, well, thanks for letting me call in, and I'll email you Monday.
Hey, appreciate it, Rick. Have a good weekend.
Right. Buddy of mine back in Niceville growing up, had a dad who played for Paul Nix, and so I'd heard some stories about Paul Nix growing up, and yeah, that's some lessons about baseball and some lessons about some other things that Paul Nix shared with his players back in the yeah, I think this would have been the late 70s, probably, when he was.
Oh yeah, he was here from throughout the 70s, yeah, and into the 80s. But one of the things he told me and my roommate was that we and part of it was true. It's like, now you guys played at two small schools, you know, nobody from your size schools can play in the SEC. And then a couple of years later, there was a guy named Nat, now known as Buck Showalter, who led the nation in hitting at Mississippi State, who was from our conference. There was a guy who led the SEC in wins at Georgia from our conference, and a pitcher on Auburn's team, but he started at Alabama Christian, then transferred into Auburn. Robert Hudson was the number two guy to Joe Beckwith on the College World Series team. So a few guys from my little school conference were okay, but those guys were a whole lot better.
Beckwith was here in the next days, right?
He would have been. Oh yes. Yeah, absolutely. 334-321-1390. We'll get one more before we get to our final break of hour number one. And Bill is up next. Hey, Bill.
Hey guys. Yeah, I was really sad to hear the news about Terry Price. A quick story. I was going somewhere, Austin, Texas, of all places. Years ago, not too terribly long ago, but a few years back. And this big guy sitting next to me, one of the few times I went first class, and this real big guy sitting next to me, he kept looking at I've got an Auburn class ring, and he looked at it, and he started asking me about, you know, he introduced himself, and it was Terry Price, and he was back at A&M, and he was on a recruiting trip, and he was heading back to... Absolutely the nicest man. And you know what? He didn't. And anytime I meet somebody who, a sports figure or somebody that's known, like he would have been around here, I never really press him about football or anything like that. He talked about his hobbies and you know, his family. And we've been a few places, you know, on vacation, similar places. But he talked about how much he enjoyed his time at Auburn, and especially the 2004 season. And some years later, when A&M came back to Auburn, I remember, you know, the defensive line for the visiting team always warms up in the far end zone there around where I sit. And I remember him coming out there before his players, and he kicked the pylon out of the way so they could warm up. But I remember him looking around the stadium, and you could see it in his eyes that I guess you had to be there to understand it, but he was simply the nicest man. It was really heartbreaking to hear that he passed away at such an early age.
Oh, absolutely. He was, I mean, just very, I mean, he was very friendly. He was easy to talk to, and you felt like, you know, you felt like you'd known each other for a while after you'd been around him just a few minutes.
Now, he was a college defensive end at A&M, like you said, under Cheryl and Slocum. So he had his days on the – but like I said, he just talked about, hobbies and family. But he did, about 15, 20 minutes, just talk about how much he enjoyed his time at Auburn. And of course, the 2004 season was special because that was the first SEC championship we'd had in a while. And, being part of Tubbs' staff and – So anyway, I thought I'd share that with you. So, Bill, you're going on vacation next week. You're gonna leave Dan there to fend for himself.
Yeah, we'll see if there's a show after July 4th. We'll see if there's even a show anymore after the next week. But yeah,
Bill's taking 2 weeks ago.
What?
Weren't you on vacation about 2 weeks ago?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, maybe I got my celebrities mixed up. I thought, So anyway, Dan, I'll call in next week and try to fill some of that air for you.
No, we're gonna have a motley crew of folks, that I can pull in from my, I'll see who still takes my phone calls, and we'll see who we'll see who can come in next week. Should have a Ferguson appearance. He's feeling better back in the studio. I'm imagining Brian Matthews and Jason just Caldwell will help out as well. But yeah, we'd love to hear from you next week, Bill.
All right, Bill, you have a good vacation, Royal.
Appreciate the call, Bill. We'll get to our final break here of hour number one. Stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
My joy. Be a part of the drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. I did something with the headphones, and I couldn't get them on my head there for a minute.
I was waiting to see if I needed to intervene.
Man, it was a long day. I got some yard work done earlier today, so I'm I think all I took was ibuprofen. So
I think a retro show makes sense. I mean, the NBA draft was last night, but not a huge night for Auburn necessarily in the NBA draft. You've got the College World Series involving LSU and Florida this weekend. Who do you think?
LSU's really playing well. They're pitching it well, but without Skeens and Florida's got their regular rotation set. LSU's got their regular Saturday starter, but they used two of their weekend starters yesterday.
And they had to with the season on the line against Wake Forest. I mean, you can't be holding them for a game that may never happen if you don't win the Wake Forest game.
So Florida should win. That doesn't mean they will win, but Florida should win.
Winning the first game would be so big for LSU because it guarantees a Skeens game.
Mm-hmm.
Now he could pitch on short rest, but it would guarantee.
I wonder if he might be able to throw
Sunday.
Yeah, like I think if you win, like to a batter or two, like it's a bullpen.
If you win
and you've got a chance to win, and you need somebody.
See, I think if you win Saturday, you save him for Monday because you can have him on rest. You save him for a game three. If LSU wins,
if you lose Saturday, win
game one, I think if you're LSU and you win game one, you can hold off Skeens for game three, knowing that there's definitely going to be a game three if you don't win game two. If you lose game one for LSU, then I think you get into the scenarios you're talking about, Bill, where do you hold off Skeens for a game three that won't happen if you don't win game two?
Yeah, you better not.
Or do you say
any way he can help you?
But then you may sacrifice his availability in game three. But there's not going to be a game three.
It wouldn't
three.
Be. Yeah, that's right. If you need him to get to game three, then you better use him. All right, we will step aside. Working on... seeing if we can get someone to talk with us a little bit about Terry Price. Again, Coach Price passing away today. And as a result, we're asking you to give us some of your favorite assistant coaches. Any sport, anything on your mind, though, sports-wise. We're back with hour number two of the Friday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Friday Drive. A beautiful Friday afternoon. Looks like a nice looking weekend. It's going to be hot, but I mean, it is the end of June, so, you know, it's about as good as it's going to get. Welcome in. It's Bill, Dan, and Drew, the regular crew here in the studio for the Friday edition. And hour number two is brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And we'd love for you to join in, and the best way to do that is by calling the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one, and the number to get you through is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, which is available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform and look for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center. All of that presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
We're talking anything that you would like sports-wise and probably otherwise as well. But one of the topics, sad news today, and that former Auburn assistant and Texas longtime Auburn and Texas A&M defensive line coach Terry Price passing away today at the age of 55. Coach Price had been back at his alma mater since 2012, was at Auburn 10 years under Tommy Tuberville. As a matter of fact, was with Tubbs for 4 years at Ole Miss. So for the entirety of Tommy Tuberville's SEC coaching, Terry Price was one of his assistant coaches, and he passed away today at the age of 55. And one of the things that we're doing as we remember Terry Price is remembering other former assistants. Love to hear from our listeners as to some of your favorite assistant coaches. Don't talk enough about assistant coaches. Spend much more time, obviously, the blame and the credit goes to the head coaches, as that's where it, you know, ultimately lies. But, I mean, without outstanding assistants, it's tough to have excellent performances and, you know, well, highly regarded head coaches. So we'd like to hear from you as to, you know, your favorite assistant coaches, any sport. Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390, and Jeremy is up first. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Jeremy.
Yeah, hey, guys. I didn't know him, but having been around Terry Price a little, one, knowing his background, and then seeing how tall he was, to be a defensive end back when he played, he would have stood out.
Mm-hmm.
He was much taller than even what you would call a defensive end now.
Oh yeah, he was like the Stork, like Ted Hendricks, a kind of guy like that.
Yeah.
That was out very tall for his position.
But then his voice, you could be at practice, and if they were doing any sort of like competitive drill, and there was a shot, a play clock on winding down, all you would hear, and I don't care how many people were at practice, I don't care how loud it was, and it, in certain games you could even make it out, all you would hear, shot clock! Come when, as that play clock would start winding down. He called it a shot clock.
There was an incident where Terry would get fired up, and when someone made a mistake, especially a dangerous mistake, he'd let him know about it. There was an incident during fall practice when one of Terry's defensive ends made contact with the quarterback during a drill where the quarterback had no contact jersey on, and got him right in the forearm during the quarterback's follow through, and Terry Price pulled that player aside and gave him the business for 5-10 minutes. And we're trying to watch, because this is ones-on-ones doing, you know, passing skeleton stuff. and we're trying to watch it, but all you can hear is Terry Price letting that guy know what a serious mistake he had just made. So yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, back when they were on the intramural fields doing this, you could hear him in the parking lot, right? You could hear him with the folks that were watching from their cars. Good hear Terry.
And I'll tell you what, there during that stretch from 2002 all the way through 2005, 2006, when our defense was really, really salty, the defensive ends that he coached, between your Quentin Groves and Stanley McClovers, his impact on the football team could not be understated.
Oh yeah, no, and the guys. I mean, there were some guys like Coleman and Antoine Carter. You know, players who made maybe a bigger impact after Terry was gone with the Chizik teams. But he was a big part of their development as well. Yep. I mean, the guy was an SEC defensive line coach for nearly 30 years. Right. I mean,
right.
To do that at that level, yeah. I mean, his track record is super impressive. And beyond that, just a guy who was always willing to make time for us. Was always willing to answer every question and treat the media thoughtfully and respectfully. I mean, it was a real pleasure to have him around when he was a coach here. And I was you know, happy to know he was coaching for his alma mater. It was really cool to know that he got to coach his son. But it's a sad day with his passing.
It is. And then you know, the whole staff was really good to be around. A lot of people don't know. You get Al Borges, if you set him down and get to talking about something, he talk about baseball as much as anything else. He played college baseball. I think he was a catcher somewhere, maybe, at like a small college.
Up in the Northwest, right? I think it was I don't think he's a Portland State grad. I think it's another it's another school like that, but it's
something, yeah. Like I said, small school, but you talk about a guy that loved him some baseball, and you catch him at the Auburn University baseball games and during baseball season and stuff, because he enjoyed it. And if you ever got him sat down, he would talk as much about that as he would anything else.
Oh no, I mean, yeah, Al was, and we had Coach on the show before the season started this past year to promote his book about the 2004 season, which I believe is still, you know, you can get it, find booksellers everywhere. But Al Borges is, you know, such a personable guy and a great memory too. You know, a guy who can remember specific moments from 2004, 2005 games. I mean, another guy who made a big impression. And we had somebody in the first hour who shouted out some of his favorite coaches, and then immediately got us thinking about Al Borges.
Yep. All right, guys.
Great stuff, Jeremy. Appreciate the phone call. 334-321-1390. Bill is Bill had to step away for just a moment. I believe we may be working on someone who knows who knew Terry Price pretty well joining the show. I don't want to make any promises, but I think that's what Bill is. I hope that's what Bill's negotiating right now. Otherwise, you know, maybe he's ordering pizza. But we'll see. But we'll see. Yeah, he's back in the studio. Let's get to Drew, who's on the line. What's up, Drew?
Hey, yeah. It's really sad to hear about Coach Price passing. Just want to call in and again and share a story. I was an equipment manager assigned for him when I was in college at Auburn, and you know, equipment managers can kind of be the easy punching bag sometimes for SEC coaches,
right?
And I have a lot of stories, but you know, I can't tell a lot of them on the radio. But I just wanted to say, Coach Price always made sure that me and the other managers assigned to the defensive line were taken care of. Just took a personal interest in us, and the one thing, he'd always have a cookout for his players. I think he did that at A&M too.
Yep.
On Thursdays. And he always made sure we were invited and welcome to come to those cookouts with the players. And just going above and beyond to make sure even an equipment manager was included, because we did a lot for the team, and he recognized it and made us feel appreciated. And there's a lot of other things I could tell, but that always stood out to me, just an SEC coach could look at a lot of things and have a lot on his mind Thursday before a game, but he always made sure the equipment managers were invited too. So just sad to hear his passing and praying for his family, and he was a good man. So.
Oh, excellent stuff. Yeah, no, really, thanks for sharing that story. And and yeah, I mean, it's got to be even tougher for the folks who knew him well. And and that's yeah, that's really cool. Really appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you.
Just wanted to, sorry I wasn't there for a second or so, but one of the folks that I thought of when I heard that was Don Dunn. And Dan had the brilliant idea. I thought I had a number for either Don or Donna, but it didn't work. And I'm like, God, there's got to be a way. And Dan goes, well, is he still getting up in the middle of the night right here behind us and going in and getting things going at Countries? And it's like, well, it's worth a shot. So we got to tell the story, because when I call, I'm sure the young lady that I spoke to thought, this doesn't sound right, that I'm calling claiming that I'm from a radio station and that Coach Dunn knows me, but I'm trying to get his contact. I understand you don't just give out people's phone numbers, right?
Right. She was correct to say I'm gonna verify it.
She handled that well, but then someone there who did have the phone number contacted Don. That was Don Dunn that just called.
On. Okay.
And he's gonna come on with us. He'll come on the show early next week.
Okay, cool.
Because he wants to find out a little more. He said they just found out this afternoon, and I mean, he's really.
I can imagine. I mean, this is a colleague
such
of his.
Such a shock. You know, he a said, friend. Yeah, yeah. He said he was with him every day for 14 years at Ole Miss and Auburn, and loved him. He said. The kid. He called him a kid.
Yeah, it's got to be. I mean, it's got to be like losing family. So,
absolutely.
If he can make some time for us,
Don will be on. Don will be on, and he said whenever.
He's ready to talk about it. We can't wait to hear from Coach Dunn about Terry Price. And by the way, can't wait to hear from Coach Dunn just in general.
Oh no, you're absolutely right.
I'm happy. I'm thrilled that story has a. Some good news on it.
334-321-1390. Who was up next?
Mitch is on the line.
Hey,
right?
Mitch.
Hey, guys, can you hear me? I've been kind of hesitant in calling.
Oh, no, sounds fine.
This sounds great, Mitch. It's good to hear your voice.
Okay. Well, I'm outside. Well, it's kind of ironic you guys are talking about coaches, because today I was at the Murphy gas station in front of the Destin Walmart, and Coach O walked in.
Oh wow, Orgeron's hanging out down there.
He spends a good bit of the summers down in Destin, and why not now? I mean, last time, you know, I remember seeing the pictures, and we saw him a couple of years ago when we were down there in Destin as he was jogging up and down old, 38.
You talking about the one over by Fudd's?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I get gas there, and unfortunately, I'm still smoking. I get my cigarettes there, but
Shane, you need to stop that, Mitch.
Fudd's.
I know.
Mitch,
know,
father. We'll go ahead with the
man, cigarettes. I was like a smokehouse for forever and ever. I mean, so but you should stop.
I know. I will eventually, Bill.
I lived near Father.
Yeah,
Fudd.
You will eventually. You're right about that.
Well, everyone does. Everyone stops eventually.
But anyway, it was like, it was funny. I was trying to get to the gas station, and there was a black Mercedes coming the opposite way, right in front of Walmart. And I was trying to turn left, and I was like, okay. And he's going real, real slow. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna wait on him. Well, he turned, and when I saw him. Saw him through the window, I was like, that looks familiar. So I was like, all right, well, I went and go get gas. I go inside to get some get some cigarettes for my wife. And he comes in, and I hear this rah, 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 rah. I was like, oh my God, that sounds familiar. And then I looked, and I was like, and at first I was like, I know this guy. What is his name? He's the LSU coach. What is this guy's name? And finally it was like, okay, Coach O, and he's talking to some lady comes in there and he's, you know, talking to her and like, yeah, you don't do that down in New Orleans. And, you know, and
That's not a bad one.
Yeah, it sounded just like him.
I was like, that has got to be Coach O. I'm like, I wish I'd have said something.
Yeah, you should have, man.
Yeah, I should have. But, I mean, he is. I'm trying to.
He's a solid guy. Should have gotten
him to sign your Marlboros.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, he is. I mean, he's not as tall as I thought he was. But he is solid.
He's pretty healthy. Yeah, you're right.
And I mean, I don't know, you know, if he's got Native American in him, but he was very, very dark. I mean, very dark.
He works on that.
Yeah, I don't think he's afraid of the sun.
No.
I think that's someone who spends, like, I mean, it's you know, I don't know what he's doing in retirement, but I feel like he's probably rarely indoors.
I agree.
That feels like a guy who's just out there.
George
Hamiltonian.
Well, yeah.
Sort of glow to him.
I don't know if anybody in there actually recognized him. I mean, the little girl he was talking to, I think was maybe from New Orleans, but she lives in Destin now. But yeah, he was just wearing shorts and tank top and flip flops, and I think he was buying some energy drinks or something. And they're like, "Oh, it's buy one get one free if you're a rewards member or whatever." He goes, "Oh, really?" Or, you know, in his rough voice.
If you're a former national champion college football coach.
Yeah,
he strikes me as a guy who's totally retired.
I don't know
if he has any interest in getting back to college.
He's good.
Football.
He's got the ring.
And recruiting has changed a lot since it was about personalities and emotions and connections more than sort of a dollars and cents thing. That seems like a guy who might spend the rest of his life enjoying the fruits of his labor, and he's earned it. There was another coach who I can't believe I'm blanking on it. It's because you mentioned Destin, Mitch. There was another coach, I want to say he used to be the head coach at Vanderbilt in like the 90s, who in retirement moved to Destin. And because he needed something to do, not because he needed the money.
But he
ended up in the toll booth at the Mid-Bay Bridge.
What?
The bridge between Destin and Niceville.
That's the difference in being a former national championship coach and a former Vandy coach.
No, but I don't think it was out of financial need. I think it was you know, because he was just sort of looking for something to do with his time, and it got him out of the house. But I'll check on that story. But I'm pretty sure there was a former Vandy coach working in the toll booth, the Mid-Bay Bridge.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I kind of regret not saying to him because he was being really personable inside the game.
Oh, I'm sure he wouldn't have minded at all.
Yeah. I mean, I saw where he was parked. I should have just pulled my van up next to him and waited for him to come out and said, "Hey, Coach O, you know, like to introduce myself. I'm an Auburn fan, but blah 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 blah.
So Dan said it was Woody Woodenhofer.
Woody Woodenhofer.
Now that was a character too. He was great at SEC Media Days. His team was terrible, but he was great. He had a bunch of rings too. He had a lot of rings from the NFL. Man, that's great.
Yeah. All right, guys. War Eagle. I'm glad you guys can hear me.
Yeah. Oh, it sounded great,
yeah, absolutely.
Mitch. 3-3-4-3, and he did a good coach O. We need to get to our first break.
Woodenhofer told a local paper. This is while I was in high school crossing that toll bridge every day. He told the newspaper that he didn't need the money. He liked meeting new people. And it gave him he had time to do it because he was out of the house, and I guess he lived very close to the toll booth, so it wasn't much of a commute for him, and he liked doing it.
Wow, he passed away.
Toll booth Woody
passed away in 2020, living in Colorado Springs.
So another character.
Oh, he really was
in college football. I was already
Googling Vanderbilt football coach toll booth, and you showed me Woody Woodenhofer. So, wow. All right, we're taking your calls, loving some of these calls. I mean, some, if you had any memories of Terry Price, we've had some great, great memories there, but also sort of honoring assistant coaches. Give us some of your favorite assistants, any sport, here on the Friday edition of The Drive.
Walk on Sports Bistro.
Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls, right back to the Kia of Auburn hotline we go. And Sandy is next. Hey, Sandy.
Hey, guys. Long time no speak. Travel a lot, but still listen to you on the road.
Well, we appreciate that.
May I deflect you from your current topic for just a second?
Sure.
I remember reading something, which I try never to do on MSN, but it mentioned something about LSU getting a whole bunch of vacated victories for both football and basketball.
37 football wins were vacated.
I wonder if you might just go over those. It was very little there, and I tried to speed right through the headlines or whatever, didn't read about it, mm-hmm. but apparently it was something that transpired with a player who was there during the Hatters' time and an assistant coach, and that's about all I got.
Yeah, it was Vidal Alexander, I believe, the offensive lineman, and remember after he was at left LSU.
His father was given a no-show job, basically. So I believe the story is, and I don't want to defame anybody, so I think this has largely been proven in court, that there was a booster for LSU who has since been disassociated with the program or disgraced or whatever.
Guy that was funneling funds?
That's John Paul Funes. So he gave a no-show job and $200,000 to Vidal Alexander's father.
Right.
With the expectation that Vidal would play at LSU if his father received these things. I believe Funes has also embezzled money from a hospital.
Yes.
And that's where some of this was made public, right? Because mm-hmm. of the proceedings from that. So the offensive lineman in question played in 50 games from 2012 through 2015. LSU will vacate all 37 of the wins in games where he appeared. Those include 3 wins over Auburn, 3 wins over Florida, and 2 bowl victories, the Outback Bowl in 2013, the 2015 Texas Bowl.
Now, the thing to remember now, I heard some people saying, well, now that means Auburn gets to count those victories. No, that does not. Vacating wins, all that means is those games, as far as the school who is vacating the wins, those games never existed. They don't. It's not like a forfeit where they're counting it as a loss. It's just that doesn't count. The teams that lost those games, including Auburn's 3, are still losses for their teams.
And the Will Wade, I think, is maybe one of the headlines.
Will Wade is the headline of that story.
He's going to miss the first 10 games of the season. He's now coaching at McNeese State.
And he's got a 2-year show cause.
Which would that be an issue if somebody else tried to hire
him? Yes.
If he tried to leave McNeese State for another job, there'd be issues there. LSU, it seems like because they fired Will Wade when they did.
I think LSU came out pretty good on this.
If LSU had tried to fight through this with Will Wade as their coach, I think there was a possibility the NCAA absolutely dropped the hammer on both of them. But since LSU has fired Will Wade and started a new era with a new coach, I wonder if the NCAA maybe took it easy on them relative to what they could have gotten.
More type 1 violation or whatever they call them, that they get the death penalty or their own suspension for 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, they've got a 3-year probation for both football and basketball, but with no sanctions. So
they basically have self-imposed their own problem. So now
apparently they had self-imposed vacating those victories but hadn't told anyone. Not that it really matters. I guess the only time we would have noticed is if you looked at the record book, and they'd have 37 less wins than they had, before.
Were any of these applied to Les Miles' personal record, and did they affect any SEC championships or national championships or anything during that period of time?
Well, they didn't take any titles or anything away from them. They just don't get credit for the win. So Les Miles,
I don't believe 12-15 is a championship period for LSU. That's the four seasons in question.
So the only thing it would look like. Les had 37 fewer wins.
There was a story on ESPN.com about how this impacts Les Miles' eligibility for the Hall of Fame. Because he...
Yeah, you have to have 200 wins.
I believe this drops his...
percentage.
This drops his win percentage below the period where you can qualify for selection. So I think this actually may... this could take him... he may not meet the criteria anymore for a coach who could be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to know. It's just me not wanting to dive deeper into it. You guys do, and so it's best left for me just to sit there and do something else. So I appreciate it, and thanks for the info. Now I know.
Appreciate it, Sandy. Yes. So don't go counting those wins over LSU. It's not like a forfeit. Auburn still lost. LSU doesn't get credit for the win.
So before today's announcement,
before
the announcement, his record at Oklahoma State, LSU, and Kansas had been 145-73, win percentage of just over, it's like 66.5.
Yeah.
Following the vacated wins.
Oh, so he's now 108?
108-73.
Yeah, which is not that impressive.
That's 59.7. Yeah, it's so just
under
underneath.
60%. Is it supposed to? Do you have to be 60%?
Has
is
to
that
be
what
60, it is? You have to have a career win.
Oh, he needs to go out and coach one game and win it.
Career winning percentage of 60% in at least 100 games to qualify for selection of the College Football Hall of Fame. So this does impact. I also think the way his career ended.
Yeah, I wonder if he would have made it. And now with this and the way his career ended, if he would have made it. Anyway.
I mean, it was sort of an administrative decision where there was the inappropriate relations with students and employees and things. There was a whole thing there with Les Miles. It was an oddly timed firing, right? Wasn't he fired in like March or April or something? Like, I remember it being sort of and now there's a. But some figures from LSU's past, Les Miles and Will Wade, were most front and center in the announcement of taking wins away from LSU in both football and basketball. Doesn't impact LSU unless something else happens.
Doesn't
impact LSU's postseason chances moving forward. But if anything, it might be a relief for Matt McMahon to not have this lingering over the program.
Sure.
Because you would think, I don't know how difficult it is, if it's made it more difficult to recruit to LSU, not knowing if postseason, if the postseason's moving forward could be in jeopardy.
Yeah, remember they went ahead and self-imposed a bowl ban when they were 3-5. And then fired Will Wade. So and then
I think
vacating the victories, I think that pretty well took care of it.
If Orgeron and Wade were still the coaches, the NCAA I think would have just vaporized LSU for trying to fight through these behaviors. Although some of this stuff dates back to Les Miles.
Pre-Orgeron.
If Les Miles were still the coach, but instead, it's more. And people have said in the past, don't punish future. Don't punish future players of the program for these sorts of deeds.
I agree with that.
Go after the coaches and go after money that the program made off of this behavior. I think they did a good job punishing LSU accordingly, especially after spending multiple years in investigating these things.
When we come back, is West Virginia close to replacing Bob Huggins? We'll talk about that and more. And, of course, if you have, an assistant coach, you'd like to remember one of your favorites. Let us hear it here in the final half hour of the Friday Drive. Welcome back into the drive. Final 20 minutes here on this Friday afternoon. It's been fun hearing from folks about their favorite assistants, and it's been great talking to a couple of people about their experiences with Terry Price, who very sadly passed away today at the age of 55, the former Auburn and Texas A&M. Ole Miss, then Auburn, then Ole Miss again, then Texas A&M, his alma mater, and passing away today at the young age of 55, been in coaching for more than half of his life. And we'll have Don Dunn will be joining us. Don was, of course, the defensive line coach. Terry was the defensive ends coach. And they were together, as Don was telling me, every day for 14 years at Ole Miss and Auburn. And he'll be joining the drive probably on Monday. I'll check with him, over the weekend. So looking forward to talking with Don anyway. I mentioned as we went to the bottom of the hour, West Virginia, of course, looking to replace Bob Huggins. And just in the last half hour, the publisher of WVSports.com, obviously covering the Mountaineers, the publisher, Vernon Bailey, posted this, and I quote, West Virginia has worked with.
Huh? There's a story before the post too, because there's.
Oh, Andy Kennedy, you want to talk about Andy Kennedy's response the other night?
So was it
night before last?
Yeah. So Andy Kennedy, I guess we got to back up even further. Bob Huggins resigned as the head coach of. Do you have to back up? No. Okay. Bob Huggins resigned as the head coach of West Virginia earlier this week,
and under
pressure,
right? And one of the first names mentioned was Andy Kennedy. We mentioned that a couple of days ago. Andy Kennedy.
when Bob Huggins was let go by Cincinnati about 20 years ago, Andy Kennedy was his lead assistant,
right,
and replaced him for 1 year at Cincinnati.
Yep.
Before, I believe, then took the Ole Miss job, right?
And is considered a disciple of Bob Huggins,
right,
as far as philosophy, style, so forth.
And I think even before the incident this past week, had been viewed by some at West Virginia as the potential successor to Bob Huggins at West Virginia. Andy Kennedy's coaching at his alma mater.
That is right, UAB.
He had a good team last year. Taking over a team now, you know, what kind of impact can you have on the roster, especially a roster that's now seeing players go into the transfer portal? Like there are.
Yeah, you probably can recruit some guys.
You can, but it's not nearly as easy as it would have been 3 or 4 months ago.
True.
To recruit some guys, because a lot of the guys you'd want to recruit have already made decisions.
They can probably get waivers.
They could if they want to go back into the portal. Well,
I bet they could.
I wonder because now to switch teams, you'd need a coaching change or something.
And that's what you got.
But not a coaching change at a different school.
Well, like I'm just thinking. What if there were a guy or two at UAB that he might want to take?
They can go in the portal because they're you could take UAB players with them. But still, I think that it's not nearly. It's like we were talking about with Jani Broome to assemble a roster now as a college basketball coach, a newly arrived coach somewhere, would be much more difficult than it would be.
I think that the feeling was that Bob Huggins had a pretty good team that was there, and Andy Kennedy might be someone who could keep most of those players there.
That's I think the more realistic consideration, mm-hmm, is that Andy Kennedy, if he arrived now, maybe he could win with this group that Bob Huggins had assembled, and then then they go afterward. But Andy Kennedy wrote on social media,
and this was like at midnight, a couple of nights ago.
It was nearly midnight on June 21st. Don't be a sheep. I'm thinking, is that emoji?
Yeah, it's a sheep.
And then fake news check mark, and then just blaze, which is the slogan that they use on social media with some UAB related athletics. And he had a picture of a dragon and a basketball.
Yeah, that's the blazer. Yeah,
dragon emoji, basketball emoji, fire emoji.
Okay,
is the tweet from Andy Kennedy?
Okay,
which set some West Virginia people thinking maybe he's not leaving.
That's it did. But then today, as I mentioned, and a little after 5 o'clock today, the publisher of WV Sports wrote that West Virginia has been working with Jimmy Sexton, Andy Kennedy's agent, to see what both sides would need if he is hired. And he said that his understanding is that Andy Kennedy is being very reasonable with his requirements, and that the AD there at West Virginia has told players and others that it could go until Sunday, but it sure seems like Andy Kennedy is trending in the direction of West Virginia.
Right, and it would be disappointing, I think, for UAB folks, especially in the aftermath of him, you know, releasing some sort of statement, but or releasing, you know, a post on social media sort of indicating that he's, you know, firmly in UAB's camp right now. But situations can change. You know,
yes, they can.
You can be, and yeah, I would say, hopefully, if Andy Kennedy is leaving, because it's his alma mater and because of the timing of this stuff, I would hope he would understand how sensitive it is to UAB people, right? So it's like, don't play games with,
no,
hey, I'm sticking
true.
Around, and hey, you know, I might, you know.
And then I'm out of here. Yeah,
I just would hope, because it's not, it's a little different than your average coaching search situation.
Yeah, the next time, if he's posting John Denver music, I mean,
yeah, and you know what I mean? And it would, and especially since it's your alma mater, like, you
yes.
know, give them the, like,
that's,
I mean,
right.
that's not to say he can't leave, because it's the Big 12. Like, if a Big
12, yeah.
a good Big 12 job wants you, even if you're coaching at your alma mater, like, you know, you got to go. But I would hope that you could be as straightforward as you can with the people at your school, and, you know, and maybe not say anything until you know where you're coaching next year would be my stance on that one.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, maybe UAB's looking for a new head basketball coach by Monday. You don't know.
Or maybe Andy Kennedy is firmly in UAB. You know, he's firmly with UAB for this season.
And the thing is, Jimmy Sexton is really good at working this. And Andy Kennedy may still be at UAB with a fresh new contract.
And we've wondered, too, if West Virginia might decide to delay the real coaching search for a few months and hire. That
doesn't sound like their AD thinks so.
No,
I think he wanted someone. Well, maybe that's what they do. If they want to have somebody right now, if it's not Andy Kennedy, maybe it's going to be somebody else that was on the staff.
Ren Baker is the former North Texas AD who got the West Virginia job recently, and I would expect him to. I think he knows what he's doing. So it's either. If they can't pull something off now, they could maybe go hunting for a new coach after the season.
Let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Spectre is up next. Hey, Spectre.
Hey, Spectre.
Hey, guys. Hey, listen, on this favor assistant, I took the last six head coaches and picked the offense and defensive assistant that I liked on each staff.
Oh, okay.
And I start with Dye. You know, Blakeney and Sullivan were co-offensive coordinators. But I've always had a favorite in Sullivan, and I picked Wayne Hall on the defensive side. In the Bowden era, I picked Tommy Bowden and Wayne Hall again.
So you avoided Jimbo, who was the offensive coordinator longer than Tommy.
I always liked Tommy Bowden. I thought that was a guy.
Tommy's a nice guy.
That was a guy to me who was an excellent play caller who sort of got pushed into being a CEO instead of doing what he was great at and really being nuts and bolts involved with an offense.
You talk about his time at Clemson.
Yeah, I mean, I thought his time at Clemson, his offense at Tulane was
pretty darn good.
Sensational.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Before he got that Clemson job, I mean, I thought that was a guy who. You know, and he was content. I don't think he's coached again since the Clemson thing, right? Like that's a guy who went to media and doing stuff outside of coaching. But yeah, I always liked Tommy Bowden and wanted to see it work.
Well, in the Tuberville era, I picked Borges and Chizik, and basically because of the 2004 season, really. But Chizik was there first two seasons. I think 2002 was it when he came on board. Yeah, 2002. So, yeah, I picked Chizik as the defensive guy and Borges as the offense. Now, in Chizik's era, I picked Malzahn and Ted Roof. That's basically for the championship season, 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Malzahn era, I didn't have an offensive guy, so I picked two defensive guys. Of course, Kevin Steele, but I picked Rodney Gardner because he's always been my favorite.
Yeah, there you go. There's a guy everybody liked Coach G.
Yeah, that's right. He's definitely a good recruiter. And in the Harsin era, the only person I could pick was Zach Etheridge.
I mean, Cadillac goes over a couple of errors. I think there are a lot of people who, because of the events of the last few seasons, have, you know, Cadillac has joined their list of.
Oh, there were some good guys on that staff, even though. Yeah.
And Bell, you know what? We had someone shout out Rock Bellantoni, who I enjoyed getting to talk to a little bit in this past season. You know, a guy who just worked his way up from you know the smallest of college football stages to get to be a position coach in the SEC.
There's another wide receivers coach that reminded me of Cadillac when Cadillac was basically a sideline cheerleader before Harsin left. And remember Trooper Taylor?
Yeah. Oh, Trooper was
waving
Trooper.
The towel.
Trooper could not. Yeah. I mean, and Trooper was, I mean, regarded as one of the best recruiters in college football when he was
sitting
hired
on
by
G.
Sitting on G, waiting on O, sweating like a hostage, my man Trooper Taylor. No, Trooper was Trooper. You know, Trooper was Trooper's daughter played for Arkansas State, and so I saw him at a couple of games during my first couple of years doing the Troy thing, and it had been 6 or 7 years since I'd seen Trooper Taylor, and he remembered me and came up and said hi. And could not have been warmer or more friendly.
Excellent assistant coaches have to remember faces. No question.
And still, I believe, still on the staff at Duke to this day. I believe still coaching for Elba. He was a coach for Cutcliffe, and now he's I think he's still at Duke.
Well, that's good to hear there. Or anyway, that's my list. I couldn't pick. If I had to narrow it all down, I have really a strong feeling for Rodney Gardner. But that was my list. I just could not pick one guy.
Well, I hear you. That's good. I like it. You we gave him an assignment. He came back with multiple names. I like it.
Yeah, one from each of our coaching eras.
There you go. That's good. Good stuff, Spector.
Okay. That's all I got, buddy.
Have a good weekend.
And our buddy Andrew McCain shared a story on social media. I know we're up against a break, so I'll make it brief. But Andrew was recruited to Auburn as a defensive end before switching to the offensive line. Was recruited by Terry Price to come to Auburn. But that wasn't the first time Andrew and Terry had crossed paths, Bill, because Andrew's parents went to the Cotton Bowl in 1986 when Terry Price, playing on that Texas A&M defense, faced Auburn.
Oh, okay.
You might remember that game as well.
Yeah,
And Terry Price on the defensive line played a role in that game, not being a bright memory. Andrew's mother was expecting Andrew, and they went to that game.
Oh, wow!
And so Andrew, you know, saw Terry Price from the womb, and then about 18 years later, was recruited by Terry Price to come play for Auburn, and you know, stories like that being shared on social media by Terry's former players, and yeah, like you said, we're going to try to talk to Don Dunn, but yeah, cool story there from our buddy former Auburn offensive lineman Andrew McCain.
All right, we'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
Experience and knowledge from AU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final few minutes here on this Friday afternoon. It's been a different Friday. I mean, obviously the sad news about Terry Price, but it brought some assistant coaches, you know, to the forefront. We had some guys named that we hadn't in a while. I'm surprised. Another long time favorite assistant coach. Still coaching, and was an assistant with Terry Price for the last few years. Damian Craig.
Yeah,
I mean, you talk about a guy that was a fan favorite for a long, long time. I'm surprised we didn't hear his name.
Not just from his work as a coach. I mean, you know, someone like that.
From his days as quarterback.
You know, as a quarterback. I mean, and a lot of
but
that. It,
but he was an outstanding recruiter.
I mean, well, some of that where. You know, the goodwill that a player earns as a player, you know, continues, you know, spills over to when they're an assistant as well. I think some of that was true of Cadillac, you know, initially.
I
mean, people were fired up not just because Auburn had hired a new running back coach, but because it was Cadillac Williams after everything he had done as a player for Auburn, and then he's only further enhanced his reputation with the work he's done as an assistant. But yeah, there are coaches like that where the goodwill carries over into their into their time as a coach.
Oh, sure. So, but we appreciate the calls today, and obviously our thoughts and prayers go out to the family of Terry Price.
Well, I mean, he had a family, he had a lot of friends and a lot of colleagues in the industry, and you know, former
a lot
former
of friends
players.
Here in this area too. Yeah, well, I mean, well, there's no question after he was a part of the, you know, the Auburn family.
I mean, he had
a decade.
He had friends in the athletic department still who remembered his time, sure, as a coach that have been remembering him on social media. The former players. I mean, there's dozens of guys, right, who played for him here at Auburn or were recruited by him to come to Auburn that have warm memories of Terry Price. So yeah, it's a sad day, and it's unfortunate, but it was nice to get to hear other folks' memories of not just Terry, but their other favorite assistant coaches in Auburn history.
And again, Don Dunn will be joining the drive probably on Monday. Speaking of Monday, Brian Matthews should be in as well. I probably won't.
We'll see how you're feeling.
Yeah. I mean, the plan is, Monday is another year older for me, and then we're heading to the beach. So, yeah, who knows? I mean, maybe I'll show Monday, but there will be a show Monday. Dan will be here. Brian Matthews should be in here. So, have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here.